Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Glory, glory, and glory. And there isn't anything greater than the glory of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you for your goodness. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, the Lord has been giving us some powerful stuff. Phenomenal. I mean, exposing the enemy in so many ways and revealing himself and his awesome wisdom and knowledge. I mean, things are just happening so rapidly and so quickly that sometimes it's hard to keep up. But thank God we don't have to. We just have to hold on. It's like going water skiing. You just hold on and you'll cruise. But in this, where God is moving so rapidly and quickly and bringing us to deep things and exposing the enemy and preparing and bringing us to another level, the whole body of Christ right now is required to go to other levels. We are continuing. It's, you know, people are waiting for the last move of God. We're in it. And it's going to continue to increase. And it will increase until the removal of the body of Christ. And there will be not only signs and wonders, but the enemy will step in with his duplicate signs and wonders and bring people into bondage. But we who are in spirit and filled with the Spirit of God will know the difference. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1 it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." And we definitely know that we're in the last days, and we know that perilous times are not only here, but they're going to increase. Things are not getting easier, they're getting tougher. And the reason why they're getting tougher is because of this next verse. It says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." This is what draws demonic activity out of the pit. So the more that man becomes further away from God, the more it draws demonic activity. Not only do we draw the presence of God, but man draws the presence of evil. In verse 5, it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Now, I want you to understand what this means right here. It says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turning away." These are individuals who are falling from the anointing. They are falling from the anointing. Now we know that, because it says that they have a form of godliness, but now they deny the power. They are falling from the anointing. And we know that the anointing is a representation of the eternal presence, power, and truth. It is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, in the anointing, and we're going to talk about what the anointing is, in the presence of God and in the anointing, there is provision. There is provision. And these are things that God provides in his provision to our spirit, to his spirit, and to the things that we need to survive here and operate in a godly way. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith." Well, I want you to understand that faith is a provision. Is everybody with me? Faith is a provision, and it's provided to me and you from the presence of God. Many will depart from the faith. Why is it saying that many will depart from the faith? If they're departing from the faith, they're departing from the anointing. We'll talk more about this. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, these deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons are moving individuals away from the anointing. They're moving them away from the what? The anointing. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Again, many will fall from the faith. In other words, the provision of God's presence and the anointing, one of the provisions is faith. So when you begin to fall away from the anointing, you begin to fall away from faith. And we know that faith is associated with spiritual sight, and it's also associated that what God tells you, you see, then you do. Jesus walked in faith because he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. So when God speaks, you see, then you do. That faith is not blind, is it? People that walk in blind faith walk in assumption, and it's not God. That is not faith. Because in the presence of God and through the anointing, provision is provided. Even his voice is provided. Faith is provided. Everything you and I need is provided by his presence. Everything. Why? Because wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are in his presence. In his presence, everything is available. So if somebody's falling from faith, they're falling from what? The anointing. In Acts chapter 10. So wouldn't you think that it would be the enemy's ploy? Is he not the Antichrist spirit? Isn't he trying to cause people to fall from the anointing? The Bible even tells us, you started off walking in the Spirit. Now, why are you walking in the flesh? Because the individual has been removed from the anointing. He's fallen from the anointing. Is everybody with me? In Acts chapter 10, in verse 38, it says, now, please, grab hold of this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was what? With him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be what? Judge of all the living and all the dead. You know, when people speak about God's love, they must speak about God's judge. He's not only the God of love, but he's the God of judge. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. So, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? It says, doing good. In other words, he was submissive and obedient. So the provision of the anointing gives us the strength to what? Obey. He went about healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. And of course, that's a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And by getting freed and healed from the devil, that's called freedom, isn't it? because the freedom is in the anointing. Now let me share with you what the anointing is. The anointing is the activity of the presence of His Spirit. The anointing is the activity of the presence of His Spirit. Is everybody with me? It is the activity. Go to Isaiah 10. The anointing is the activity of the presence of His Spirit. It is the what? Activity of His Spirit. Amen. And Isaiah in chapter 10, in verse 27, is everybody there? Isaiah 10, 27. It says what? It shall come to pass in that day that His burden will be taken away from your shoulder and His yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the what? Anointing oil. In other words, the anointing destroys or breaks the yoke of bondages. The moment the presence of His Spirit touches you, it becomes the anointing. The moment the presence of His Spirit touches you, it becomes a what? The anointing. Because it will become activated. The word anoint means to rub, doesn't it? So when we're calling out for the presence of God, we begin to sense the presence of God. Something's happening. We sense, first of all, a change in atmosphere. And as the presence of God begins to increase, and that presence, the moment it touches you, becomes the anointing. Because it rubs on you. And it gets activated, and there's some kind of manifestation. There's a provision brought. There is a provision brought. But see, this is why the devil wants to cause people to stop or run before the anointing is activated. So everybody got it? In other words, if the devil can prevent you, even though the presence of God can come into a house, if that presence, if you can sense the atmosphere changing, but you don't press in to be touched by that presence where the anointing is manifested as soon as it touches you, then there's no provision. That's why people come to worship services, they worship and they never fight to get to that place and go beyond the atmosphere change and into His presence where the anointing truly saturates them and touches them and changes them, and then there's provision brought. Healing's brought. Freedom is brought. Wisdom is brought. The devil is constantly trying right now, and he is succeeding in many areas of pulling people, causing them to fall from the anointing. So he tries to get your life busy. He tries to do all kinds of things to prevent you. He tells you got to get up too early for work. You got things to do the next day. So you go sing a few hallelujahs, you pray in the Spirit for 5 minutes, and you leave. And you don't change, because there's been no provision given. Oh, you fell. Oh, it feels good. Yes. But you haven't been touched yet. The anointing hasn't manifested. I'm telling you, in the anointing is where the provision is. And people run before that even gets a chance to happen. But you know when you've been changed. You know when there's a provision brought to you. You know that you know that you know, because something happens. There's joy. There's something that happens. There's healing. There's freedom. There's no more torment. There's no more worry. It's like, who cares about work? Who cares about this? Who cares about that? Why? Because you just got a provision from the throne room of God. And you don't give a hoot about everything here. Who cares? Hallelujah. Again, the moment the presence of His Spirit touches you, it becomes the anointing. 2 Corinthians 3. And yokes get broke. A yoke around the neck. It's like a leash. Hallelujah. Do you remember the story about the woman with the issue of blood, right? Well, the presence of God was walking right in front of her. It was walking around everybody. And they were bumping on and off of him. But the one that pressed all the way in, the one that knew she would be healed because she was crawling on faith, she knew that when she touched him, see, it wasn't her touching him, it was him touching her. The moment he touched her, even though in the natural it looked like she touched him, but it was him touching her, the anointing was manifested and she was healed because a provision was released to her. Why? Because of her faith. She saw herself get healed. See, she was healed before she touched the garment. She didn't know that yet. To her, she had to touch the garment to get healed. Just like Jesus. Jesus didn't die on a cross, he died in a garden. So he can get to the cross. In 2 Corinthians 3, glory. Is everybody okay? In verse 4, and we have such, come on, read it with me. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being with from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit brings what? The Spirit does what? The Spirit gives what? It gives what? Is that a provision? Oh. The Spirit gives life. Cool. Let's go a little further. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. In other words, it couldn't stay. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of the condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So a provision brought by the anointing is called righteousness. When people are falling from the anointing, they fall from faith, they fall from righteousness. They become self-righteous. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put on a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ, which is representation of the anointing. So there's another provision. It's called spiritual sight, which is what? Faith. But even to this day, when Moses has read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This is so powerful. I love this part. So when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now people are still looking at Jesus in the flesh. So when somebody gets saved, they think, oh, the veil is taken away. How many know the devil is trying to put the veil back on you? And how does he do that? By causing you to fall from the anointing. Because the anointing is what maintains the veil off of your eyes and heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, right? Now the Lord is the what? Come on, look at this. I want you to get this, because you're going to need to carry this. Now the Lord is the what? The Lord is the what? But he says when somebody turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. But the Lord is the Spirit, isn't he? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Freedom. Why? Because the yoke is broke by the anointing. Come on, you get this? That's why, you know, the Bible says truth will set you free. But truth is in the anointing. Because there's a lot of people that know truth, but they ain't free. Why? Because it is a provision from the anointing. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit gives life. Through the what? The anointing. And the anointing is the activity of the presence of His Spirit. The anointing is the activity of the presence of His Spirit. The anointing is the activity of the presence of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes. And it says that where they have the ministry of the Spirit. So the ministry of the Spirit is expressed by His presence and manifested by His anointing. Everybody got it? The anointing is righteousness, and the anointing is freedom. So when the enemy begins to cause you to fall away from the anointing, bondage comes again. The things that you used to do and you don't want to do will come back and take you again. The way we used to act, the behavior and character that was once separated from us, will come back again. Because only the anointing brings the provision. It's the manifestation of the provision. Everybody got it? 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Let's read it. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are what? Diversities of gifts, but the what? Same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of what? Activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That manifestation of the Spirit is called the anointing. Gifts, ministries, activities, manifested by the what? Anointing. That's why Jesus' first thing he talked about when he was in the synagogue, what did he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Anointed me. Why? The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty has now manifested in the natural realm. Now, I want you to get this, because Jesus, who was the Word who became flesh, right? I mean, He was the presence of God, wasn't He? He was the Word who became flesh. He was the Spirit, wasn't He? But when the anointing came on Him, is when He what? Went out and He expressed the anointing. He could have gone out and expressed the Word, but He went out to express the anointing. Has everybody got it? Because it is the anointing that gives life. Why? Because the anointing, there is provision. The Spirit what? Gives life. How does He get it to you? Through the provision of what? The anointing. Is everybody okay? Romans 14. Now, you can go in the slowest process of change. Hello? Or you can go in a quick process of change. Does everybody got it? I'm telling you, you could take 16 years to change by doing a little hallelujah here and there and reading your word and waiting 4 years later to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you're gradually changing. One step forward, four steps back. Two steps forward, four steps back. Three steps forward, 10 steps back. But you're changing, and you end up looking like a yo-yo after a while. But I'm telling you, there's a quicker way to change. There's a quicker way to maintain. And that's to fight for His presence. And when that presence of God Almighty touches you, you are now fighting for the anointing that brings all provision in your life. And that's why He's called the spirit of Antichrist. He doesn't care. The enemy doesn't care if you go to Bible studies and read your word. He doesn't care if you keep your pew warm. He doesn't care how much you give. What He cares about is whether you're a threat to His kingdom. That's what He cares about. Because the enemy fears the anointing. He fears it. Romans 14 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoa. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by who? Man. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. You know why offense comes? Come on, what's offense for? Why is somebody offended? Because they're alive. They're still fighting for their life. But what brings death to an individual? The anointing. Wonderful. Hallelujah. In verse 21. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So he's separating the presence of God and the presence of evil. You're either walking in the anointing or you're not. One or the other. What is not of faith, and faith is a provision brought by the presence of God manifested through the anointing. If you're not walking in faith, then it's sin. Why? Because sin is the presence of evil. That's why the devil loves to get people out in assumption. Because it's not faith. Assumption is not faith. Did God tell you to do it? I don't know. Now, there's things that the Lord puts on my heart, and I'll search it out to find out if it is God. I had a meeting today, and I shared, I'm not going to tell you that God told me this, but I've been praying about it, and this is what came to me on my heart. And I'm going to explain, and I'm going to express that this is what is on my heart, and let's search it through and find out what God is really telling us. Has everybody got it? So when you're praying, God will put something on your heart. What you want to do is make sure it's God now. Because you know who else will put something on your heart? Hello. So you got to find out what is the fruit, isn't it? So we have righteousness, peace, and joy, right? In the Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but it's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So, in the Holy Spirit. Now, the kingdom of God is citizens of His presence. Come on, I want you to grab this. What's the kingdom of God? Citizens of His presence. Praise God. Now, faith is what? Activity of the anointing, isn't it? So, you're going to either walk in the activity of the anointing or the activity of evil. So, in other words, you're going to express the fruit of darkness or to express the fruit of light. One or the other. You're going to either respond to things or react to things. Remember, the kingdom of God is the citizens of His presence. Matthew 16. The anointing is the activity of His presence, or what we call the manifestation of His presence. So when His presence comes, first it changes the atmosphere, then it begins to press on you. Then there's a level of His presence that releases the anointing, and there is a provision brought. That's why the Bible says, press in. What are you pressing into? You're pressing in through the presence of God. So the anointing is activated. Has everybody got it? It's the same as the tabernacle of God. You have the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. So you go from the outer court, which is salvation, washed by the blood. You go to the holy place. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now you begin to fulfill your priesthood because you're a minister to the Lord. As you minister to the Lord, His presence starts coming. His presence starts coming. His presence starts coming. The atmosphere changes. You can sense it increasing. You're ministering to the Lord. Then the veil of the most holy place opens up. He invites you in, and the anointing is released. The provision. See, the provisions are in the most holy place. What was there? The Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark? The manna? Hello? Is it manna provision? The almond that budded is representation of priesthood. So all of these areas of, you know, people are still wanting the anointing in the outer court, and it's not going to come. They're wanting the anointing in the holy place. The anointing is in the most holy place. The presence of God is in the holy place. Is everybody okay? Glory. In Matthew 16. Is everybody there yet? So what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to get you to fall from the anointing. That's why the things that you know you should be doing, you can't. You can't do it. No power. But I pray in the Spirit. Yes, but you've not pressed to the anointing. That's the price to pay, isn't it? Matthew 16, verse 15. It's a terrible thing to stand before God and know what you were supposed to do and never do it. The worst thing we can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. That's why God is shaking everything right now. Matthew 16 and verse 15. And He said to him, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know the Christ means the anointed one and His anointing. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. In other words, you got revelation. For I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then He commanded His disciples that they should not tell no one that He was Jesus the Christ or Jesus the Anointed One. Christ, again, means the Anointed One. Christ the Anointed One, the activity of the eternal Creator. So Jesus was the anointed one, right? So he was actually the activity, amen, because the anointing is activity. He was the activity of the eternal creator walking in this realm. That's why wherever he went, something happened. Didn't matter. But he was the anointed one, which is the activity, the eternal creator in the natural realm. He didn't want them to tell, he said, look, don't tell anybody that I'm Jesus the Christ. Because they would know him by the anointing. Has everybody got it? He did not want them to know him as the anointed one. He wanted them to know him by the anointing. Not because somebody said he was the Christ. He said, don't tell nobody. So he didn't want anybody to know him. He didn't say, man, don't go tell the world that I'm the Christ. He wanted to know him by the anointing or the activity of his presence. How did he want them to know him? By the activity of his presence. He wanted man to know him by the anointing. And of course, he said, and on this revelation of the anointing, the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. When evil begins to overcome you, you are falling from the anointing. Or you have fallen from the anointing, and that's why they're overcoming you. See, binding and loosening are cooperative keys with the anointing to combat evil. They are cooperative keys, are you listening, with the anointing to combat evil. That's why the word calls sword of the Spirit. In other words, if you're not backed by the anointing, it's only a seed and you're a farmer. But if you're backed by the anointing, it's the sword of the Spirit. When the word is spoke. And it's just a matter of time when it will manifest. It can manifest instantly. It can manifest 2 hours. It can manifest the next day. So to bind and loose are the keys that God has given us. They are the keys of the heaven. They're actually the keys that cooperate with the anointing to combat evil. That's why you bind and loose. Do you know why people don't bind and loose? Because they've fallen away from the anointing. When you fall away from the anointing, death doesn't even come to you no more. When you fall away from the anointing, you don't want to pray in the Spirit no more. When you fall in the anointing, the first thoughts that come to you are natural. But in the anointing, the thoughts that come to you are of God. You'll know right away. That reaction is of the devil. It doesn't mean that you're going to respond to it, but it means that you're going to know it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you begin to fall away from the anointing, conviction, there's no response. You sense the conviction, but you say later. See, the anointing wants to take care of things now. Now. He doesn't take care of things later. Because the longer you wait, the more you're going to reap. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in what? Christ, he is a what? New creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Oh, this is wonderful. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, new creation, all things pass away, all things become new. The anointing, I want you to get this, because in the anointing, a provision of faith is established, isn't it? That's where it's given. Now, when faith is established in that, the anointing in faith, there's always a creative mode. Where there's the anointing, there's creation. There's always a creative mode. That's why he said he who is in Christ is a new creation. In other words, you're being made new. Why? Because of the anointing. He was in Christ. The anointing is a provision. It says that the Spirit gives life. But the anointing is the activity of a creative mode. It's the activity of a what? Creative mode. That's why people get healed. Creative mode. That's why we change. Creative mode. That's why all things are possible to those who believe. That's why supernatural things happen. Creative mode is associated with supernatural things happening in our life. There should be supernatural things happening in every believer's life, one way or another. Something. Something simple, something big, something, you know, whatever. I don't care what it is. Financial, whatever. God opening doors, whatever it is. Has everybody got it? Go to James chapter 2. So faith, which is a provision of the anointing, faith and the anointing are creative mode. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What does it say? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Hello. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That's assumption, isn't it? That is not faith. It is what? Dead. Ooh. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is a one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, that's where the anointing comes in, doesn't it? Because the anointing is the activity of the presence of the Spirit. It is going to produce works. And I'm not talking about building your own empire. I'm not talking about building your own account. I'm talking about works that are expressing God's character. Works that are expressing His compassion. Works. Works. Works that are overcoming the world and the fears of the world. Works. Faith without works is dead because faith is in the anointing and is a creative mode which produces works. Falling away from the anointing and you fall away from new creation. Does everybody got it? You fall away from the anointing and you fall away from the new creation. Because the new creation is maintained by the creative mode, which is the anointing. Philippians 2. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Does everybody see it? Let's go a little further. Actually, I'd like to go a little back. Let's go to verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, what? As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his what? Good pleasure. In other words, we're to work out our salvation. It says with fear and trembling. One of the provisions of the anointing is called the fear of God, which is reverence, respect, and honor. When that is no longer there, that means we have fallen away from the anointing. Is everybody okay? We have fallen away from it. When the fear of God is no longer established and that reverence, respect, and honor, we have fallen from the anointing. And what comes is the fear of man. Fear is now replaced with the fear of the world. It also opens the door to a religious state of being. And a religious state, I want you to get this, it's very important because many people turn from walking in the Spirit, walking with God and doing things and begin to grumble and complain and grieve the Spirit, and so many things begin to happen. They begin to fall away from the anointing and they become religious. They become what? Religious. And the Spirit, and these spirits, and a religious state, in other words, this opens up a religious state, and this religious state is fear, pride, ritual relationship. I said ritual relationship of intellect instead of the Spirit, presence, and the anointing. In this, I want to say this again, religious state is associated with fear, pride, and ritual relationship of the intellect instead of the Spirit, presence, and anointing. Falling from the anointing into a religious state. Fear, pride, and lust. Fear, pride, and lust. Of course, and you know that when somebody falls away from the anointing, there's justification and reasoning, compromise, complacency, laziness, all of these other things. Woe is me. Everything's about me, 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 and me. Why? Because the anointing causes your death to self. When you have walked away from the anointing or you have fallen from the anointing, the first thing you want to do is take care of you. You want to prove yourself. You want to protect yourself. It's all about me. See, the anointing separates that. The anointing breaks that yoke, severs the arena of self. See, because self is associated with self-preservation, there's no more fear. When we walk away from or fall from the anointing, and we're falling away from the anointing, we begin to justify by our religious rituals. Why I went to service? Why I tithed? Why I did this? Why I did that? Never pressing in to the arena where the anointing is manifested, where provision is brought by the Spirit of God. Provision now is brought by your hands. Is everybody okay? So in that, there's fear that we're trusting our provision more than His provision. That's why so many times God tells us, okay, it's time to find another job. Oh man, I ain't finding another job till whatever. Or whatever. Well, where's that fear from? Or God asks you to do something. Well, I ain't doing that. Why? When He asks us to do something, why wouldn't we not do it? Because we've fallen away from the anointing. We've gone into a religious state, And in that arena is witchcraft. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. So would you consider a foolish virgin falling away from the anointing? Yes. What did Jesus say? The bridegroom came to take the bride, and the foolish ones were all trying to get the anointing. And everybody booked. And they were left behind. Because they went from the anointing of God to a religious state. In Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its what? Passions and desires. These passions and desires are fear, pride, and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Passions and desires is fear, pride, and lust. 1 Samuel 15. Prime example, falling from the anointing. In verse 10. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed, and he set up a monument for himself. Hello. Obviously, the anointing he has fallen away from. Why? He set a monument up of himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. He didn't even know he was out of order, out of line. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Oh, yeah. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. And Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Uh-oh. See, Saul exchanged the anointing for religion. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Verse 19. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. Now listen, he was supposed to kill him, not bring him back. Does everybody understand this? When you are falling from the anointing, you begin to justify what God is telling you what to do. You begin to reason according to your own understanding and your own common sense of carnality, because you can't comprehend the fullness of what he's saying. That's what happened to Saul. Saul thought he was doing something for God. Well, no. So he compromised it. He was supposed to kill him. He was supposed to destroy everything and come back with nothing. Just go out and utterly wipe out everything. But no, he comes back with sheep, and he comes back with the king. It's like, what are you doing? That's what I told you to do. Why could he not do it? Because he had fallen from the anointing. Does everybody understand this? You may think that what you're doing, that's why God said, forsake not to assemble and be accountable. Be accountable. We are to be accountable no matter what. Why? Because if you're walking away from the anointing, you're not going to do the things God's asking you to do. It's impossible. Many are falling away from the anointing. Right now, through the whole body of Christ, it is happening all over the place. You know why? Because fear has been interrupted in people's lives. And they're trying to gather all they can because they know things are going to get worse. Hello? Should we go a little further? Verse 21. But the people took the plunder and sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Ooh! That's the same thing as works, isn't it? Dead works. That's a ritual. That's what religions do. They have a relationship with the ritual, not with the person. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as if the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. In other words, you will never reach the place. Are you listening? You'll never reach the place that God has prepared for you. You always have limitations on your life. Only an anointing breaks the limitations. Go to chapter 16 and verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord, what? Departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit, in other words, a demon, hello, is hindering the king. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when a distressing spirit from the Lord is upon you, and you shall be well. So even they knew that getting in God's presence was going to remove the demon. 1 Corinthians 6. Falling from the anointing. It's happening everywhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Is everybody there in verse 17? But he is joined to the Lord as what? One spirit with him. Hallelujah. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own. Remember we talked about, you know, even though people get born again, filled with the Spirit of God, they begin to fight for their new life. You're to continue to surrender that new life, not fight for it. You're to fight for the presence of God so the anointing can be activated. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Don't fall away from the anointing. Verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, which is what? The anointing. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Woo! Now, who's the life giver? The Spirit. It's the Spirit gives life, right? Now, He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by what? Faith, and not by what? By sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we know that there is that other place we're waiting to go to, but while we're here in this place, we need the presence and the anointing of God Almighty. We groan for that. Amen? We groan for that. And when we don't get it, we become carnal and look for another fulfillment. Why? Because provision is provided through the anointing. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Well, let's start at verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifested that none of them were of us. In other words, the individuals walked away or fallen away from the anointing. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have, what? Received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him. Do you understand that He made the anointing a person? He is the Lord, He is the Spirit, and His Spirit carries a presence, and when His presence touches you, it manifests the anointing. Has everybody got it? Don't you want to walk in the anointing all the time? See, that's where provision is. That's why joy. You're walking in the anointing, and you always got joy. Hallelujah. We're not idiots. We're joyful-its. Don't look that in the dictionary. It's somewhere in heaven. You can find it when you get home. Go to Mark 16 while we're here. Hey, there's no distance in the Spirit. Mark 16, crucial, 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 people. Crucial time. Don't let the enemy cause you to fall away from the anointing. Hallelujah. 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who what? Believe. Believe means the what? Follow. Why are they following? Because they're going, they're following, they're being led by the Spirit, getting in the Spirit, and the anointing is manifesting, isn't it? It's being activated. The presence of the Spirit is activated. That is called the anointing. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They are what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? They will recover. Activation of His presence. The anointing. Falling away from the anointing goes right into religion. Puts us right into religion. We have a ritual relationship, a reason and intellectual relationship. Oh, I know the word.
God knows my heart. I'm saved.
Contentment and salvation. Terrible place to be. Terrible. Blah, blah, blah. Terrible place to be. Don't want it. Don't like it. Don't want to taste it. We want to stay in our habitation because we're not of this world. Amen. But remember, no matter where you go, what you do, the enemy's always going to try to draw you away from the anointing. He wants to put us in a religious state. I want to close at Psalm 104. Psalm 104 and verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open their hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, be careful that you do not fall away from the anointing. Nothing like becoming your old self. Yuck. Amen? Yuck. You start going, oh my God, what am I doing these things again for? Because you're falling away from the anointing. Stay a wise virgin. Don't be fooled. Don't be foolish. And don't let the enemy move you in any other direction but pressing through the presence of God into the glory of the anointing. Amen. Father, we thank you for your mercies and grace. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the anointing. Let the sea be protected tonight by the blood. And let us continue to fight for your presence. And Lord, expose us when we become a relationship with rituals. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed.